كنت ساكنة مع سيادي
طيب. I used to get punished for the simplest of things.
What is it like to be born a slave?
If my master was not happy, I will get punished. If I don't do the work I'm supposed to do, I will get punished. Even if I'm ill and cannot get up, I will be punished.
To live in a country where slavery is still widely seen as a normal part of life, where generations of families have been owned for centuries, inherited, loaned, and sometimes even given away as a gift.
My mother was given as a gift slave when she was young to a newborn boy in a family of masters.
And what does it take to escape, to run away and demand your freedom in the country known as slavery's last stronghold?
I'm not a slave anymore.
Hi, I'm Kim Chakanetsa, and this is The Comb, a BBC World Service original podcast. Each week, I comb the African continent for stories that matter. Online, we're hashtag The Comb. It sounds like a reality from a distant past, but in Mauritania, slavery is still a fact of life for many Harritan people. The term Harritan refers to both slaves and descendants of former slaves. Originally, the Harritan were black Africans, but culturally, the Harritan are Arab, as a result of centuries of enslavement by the Berber Arabs. While slavery within West African communities ended during French colonization, slavery within Berber Arabs continued in Mauritania. The Global Slavery Index estimates that nearly 100,000 people in Mauritania are in slavery, while over 500,000 people are also in slave-like conditions. But opposition to slavery, previously taboo, has been growing in strength as more and more former slaves speak out. In this episode, two individuals who escaped enslavement and the complicated journeys they're on to find true freedom.
This is The Comb.
Ye ni The Comb.
The Comb, no.
Ni The Comb.
The Comb.
I'm Brahim Bilal Ramdan.
I want to introduce you to Brahim.
I am philosophy teacher in university in Nouakchott.
And Maimouna.
My name is Maimouna. I live in a district of Nama in Mauritania.
It wouldn't always have been possible for me to speak to, let alone interview, Brahim and Maimouna. They both come from Mauritania's Harritan people, and they were both born into slavery. Their lives used to be fully controlled by the families who owned them.
I came from a big, big family of enslaved. I have 7 brothers and 4 sisters.
Brahim was the third-born child. As a little kid, Brahim was attached to his mother. Every day, he would accompany her to the master's house and spend the day with her as she worked.
I never note that my situation is not fair. I always think that the situation is what it is.
Soon enough, Brahim also had chores to do. He was often sent to pick up something from the market or from someone's house. He also had to look after the animals, take them out for grazing early in the morning and bring them back at sunset.
I was even happy to serve my masters, happy to do what they want, because if I do so, they can give me some small things. I can eat a good food. I can go with them to the ceremonies or even for the traveling or something like that. That give me some privilege. If you are a good slave, if you're working for your masters, that will give you some specific privilege.
Brahim, did your master have any children?
Yes.
Were they the same age as you?
Yes. 5 kids, 2 boys and 3 girls. One of these girls she was my age. And that's why we went together to the school.
Were you allowed to play with her or play with the other kids?
When we are in school, yes. Between the house and the school, in the road, the way, yes. But in the family, we are not allowed to play together. First, because she's a daughter and I'm boy. And secondly, she's my master. And we should not be together.
And so this young girl who is the same age as you, even she was your master.
Yeah, well, you are a slave for the family. You are a slave of all the members of family.
And overall, Brahim, how would you say that the family treated you?
That family treat me as a slave. Even they call me, they never call me by my name. They call me by, hey slave, do this. Hey slave. Slave is like my first name. Even they said slave Brahim or slave this.
But something incredible happened when Brahim turned 7. A happy accident that transformed his life. The masters of his village, Ene Salama, wanted to start a first grade school. But there was a catch. The rules required 15 children in order to open a school. The village had 14. So Brahim was added to make up the numbers. And how did the village react to you going to the same school as the non-Harriton children?
Very badly. I remember they always, when I meet some people on the way going to school, the masters, not my masters, but other white Moors in the village, they always tell me.
White Moors refers to the Arab Berber people who are the slave-owning class in Mauritania.
You are not allowed to go to school. Why they left you go to school? You have to go to serve your family. God will not happy with you when you are not working for your masters. And always I was, it was shameful for me to listen to these people tell me some things like that. And I am with my colleague from a class. I hate when the people tell me, hey, you're a slave.
Despite some people being unhappy and calling him names, Brahim excelled in primary and middle school. What that meant for him was that he was allowed to go on to secondary school in another city. And this is where Brahim says his life was changed forever.
Going to high school, I had to leave my village and to go to the city. Then I left the village. I immediately understood that the situation of slavery that I left behind me in the village is not fair or true.
And Brahim, what were you seeing away from the village that made you realize how profoundly unfair life was for you?
When I was in the village, all the black people like me were slaves. Everybody there. My village, they were just 4 family of masters and more than 20 family of slaves. All of the black people, my cousins, my friends, are all of them slaves. So the situation is normal for me. When I went to the city, I met with people in my same class. I met people, cousins of me, and they are not slaves. I start to reflect. I start to think about my situation. Why we are slaves and there is people here like us. Sometimes they are our relatives, they are our cousins, and they are not slaves. But I never understand why we are a slave and there is a lot of people here in the city and they are not slaves.
The city opened up Brahim's eyes. For the first time in his life, he met people like him, but who were free. When he returned to the village during the school holidays, Brahim was not going to be anyone's slave anymore.
I felt that I have to refuse sleep. When I came back to the village, very young, I was around 16 or even 15. When I came back to the village, I start to refuse sleep. I start to refuse when the people ask me to do something. My masters, they ask me, hey, Ibrahim, can you give me this? I said, why? No. Go to do this by yourself. I'm not slave anymore.
And Ibrahim didn't just stop there. He started speaking out about the cruelty of slavery. And this was before Mauritania abolished the practice in 1981.
I start really to have this struggle. I had meetings with my friends, my same age, and tell them that the situation there in the village is not fair. That is not good future. You cannot stay here working for these people until the end of your age. And after 3-4 years, all boys from my age, they left, they escaped.
Ibrahim, can I just go back to your interactions with the master and his family? When you were saying, I don't want to do that, refusing the things they were asking you to do, what would they say to you?
Sometimes they try to beat me, and they are yelling me always, why you don't do that? You are just a slave. You are just a slave. And I start to say, no, I'm not slave anymore. We are the same. You go to the bathroom like me. Why you think we are different of me? You are not. You're just a person like me. I start to, always in the village, it's interesting to listen to me when I'm reacting against them. I'm always nervous. I refuse the situation. I refuse to anything in that. Always tell my mom, you have not to work. Why you go and why you work? When, for example, kids in the master ask my mom to do something, I said, no, she will not do that. Why you ask her? You are not polite. She's like your mom, and you ask her to do some work. And I refuse for mom to do that.
Ibrahim's mother had only ever known slavery.
My mother was given as a gift slave when she was young to a newborn boy in a family of masters.
In Mauritania, slaves are passed down through the mother's line. This means the children of female slaves are automatically born slaves, regardless of their father's status. So slaves serve the families that own their mother and grandmother, unless given away or freed. Ibrahim's mother met his father when she was in her early 20s.
They met because they live in the same village. They were slaves, but for separate farms. So he saw my mom, and he comes to ask her for marriage. So when you ask a slave for marriage, you have to ask her masters. The masters are allowed to give her in marriage, not her dad, not her mom, not her brother, only her masters.
Ultimately, the lives they were forced to live made it hard for their relationship to survive.
She will be your wife, but just for a couple hours, because all the day she's working there, in the part of the night she's working there, and sometimes in the middle of night they can call her to come to do some services or something.
Ibrahim has been telling me many painful experiences in his life, but nothing compares to the pain I heard in his voice when he was discussing his mother with me.
My mom is not educated. She did not go to school. She did not know even how to write, how to read. She wants to be a good slave because for her to be a good slave is good for the end of life, is good for to go to heaven, to heaven. And her mind is like this. She think she's doing that for God, not for them. But I've never been okay with her for that. Even she's my mom. I love her a lot, and she loves me better than everything in her life. Her life was me. Everything in her life was me. If she had money, she keep that for me. If she has good clothes, she keep that for me. And I was her idol. But I could not help her to understand that her situation is not fair.
Brahim's mother died, never having known freedom. Brahim's relationship with his father was completely different from his mother. His father had left for the city before Brahim's birth, but he finally met him when he was going to the city for school.
I did not really know my father when I was a kid, because my father divorced my mom just when I was born. And he went to stay in the city, in the capital, Nouakchott, far away from our village. He never came back. He never came back. And when I had to go to high school, my mom sent me to Nouakchott to see my dad. I was 15 years old.
And what was that like, Brahim, seeing your father for the first time at the age of 15?
It was very important for me. My psychology, I told all my friends, look, I saw my dad is good, my dad is this. You know, kids talking to their dads. Because for me, some kids are in the village and they have their dads around, and I never had my dad around. So it was like something very important for me to see him and to make sure for other people that I have a dad, even if no one saw my dad.
And did he explain to you why he had left the village?
Yeah, he explained for me that he left the village. He escaped from slavery. And he could not have his wife with him. He just escaped by himself.
How common is that for people to just escape and just go away?
It's very common. You know, the problem is this. And why slavery still exists until now in Mauritania? Because culturally, the boys, men, can escape. They always escape. But women, girls, cannot.
It has been over four decades now since Brahim was in high school. Four decades of raising awareness, of campaigning against slavery, of helping runaway slaves. But he says it's still almost impossible for women to escape.
Because she is connected with her family. If she's not married, she cannot escape, because that means she's a bad person. She's going to become a prostitute. If she is married, she cannot escape because of her husband. If she escapes for her husband, God will punish her because she left the family. It was difficult for women. I never saw, it's rare, very rare to see women escape.
I have a big family. So there is my mom, my grandma, my dad.
This is Maimuna, a young Harritan woman who managed to escape slavery only a few years ago. She's speaking to me in Hassaniya Arabic, and her answers are being read by my colleague Munira Mohammed.
I have two sisters and two brothers.
Just like Brahim, Maimuna also comes from a big family. But unlike him, she didn't grow up with her mother or siblings. Maimuna's family members were scattered between different masters.
I didn't live with my parents, and I didn't grow up with them. They were in the same district, but I lived with my master and his family.
Cut off from her family, Maimuna had to deal with life in her master's house alone.
I used to get punished for the simplest of things. If my master was not happy, I will get punished. If I don't do the work I'm supposed to do, I will get punished. Even if I'm ill and cannot get up, I will be punished.
Maimuna's master had children around the same age as her, but at 5 years old, she was made to work for them as they were learning and playing. And what tasks would you be doing at the age of five?
I used to mind the little animals, like the goats and the sheep. Also, prepare food for my master's children.
Having been a slave her whole life, Maimuna never knew any different. But as she got older, seeing other children living better emphasized the injustices she faced.
Because their children were allowed to play, but I was not. They never punished their children, but I get punished. And also, their children study. They can read, and I cannot. I was never treated like their children.
And so, Maimuna, what can you tell me about your master, about the person who was in charge of the household? What was he like?
My master was called Sheikh Ahmed. He used to make me work for other masters in our district during my free time. At the end of the month, the other masters pay him money for my work. He will take it all without giving me any money to buy myself food or clothes.
As Maimuna grew, so did her responsibilities. Now, in addition to housework, Maimuna was asked to take the animals out for grazing. But this increase in workload came with a hidden benefit. Spending more time out of her master's house gave her the opportunity to finally reconnect with her family. So tell me about your sister, Maimuna. I understand that your sister was also enslaved.
Yes, my sister also was a slave. But I didn't know her at first. She was owned by another master. And the masters don't like slaves to know their family members or allow them to see each other because they are scared of slaves running away together. I used to see her in the village, but never knew that she was my sister until another lady who was also a slave introduced us. So I never knew my sister until I was a teenager.
After the sisters met, they started seeing each other behind their master's back.
So when I realized she was my sister, we started sneaking out to meet each other and talk. We used to meet when we heard the goat. It was the only time we could see each other.
Meeting her sister gave Maimuna the courage to imagine a life beyond the little village and beyond her master's tight grip.
We planned to run away at night when our masters were asleep.
It's the kind of thing that might be easy to talk about, discussing a hypothetical plan. How'd you get out, where you'd meet up, how you'd travel, and of course where you'd go. But actually, turning those conversations into reality takes the kind of courage that's difficult to imagine. For Maimuna and her sister, it was a shocking incident which finally pushed them to do it.
The reason for leaving was that our grandmother died that day. She was blind, and my master made her herd the goat, and she died saying she was thirsty.
It was their grandmother's treatment after death, as well as the death itself, which infuriated the sisters.
After she died, she was buried by the women, and that is not right in Islamic custom. The men are supposed to take the body, pray on it, and bury it. But the masters treat the slaves like animals, so my grandmother was buried by the women only.
Disgusted by how their grandmother had been treated, the sisters put their plan into action.
That same night, we planned to leave at midnight, and it was dark.
It was a risky journey.
We walked during the night, and we decided to climb up the trees during the day because we were scared of our masters or someone catching us.
And where were you going to, Maimuna, when you were running away? What was the goal?
We were running to a district called Basukna. It is a district well known to runaway slaves because there are many anti-slavery organizations that protect slaves from getting recaptured. No one told me exactly, but I used to hear about it from the shepherds, that it is a safe haven for runaway slaves.
The girls travel for several days by foot and with nothing but just water.
We actually never got to Basukna because someone told us it's easier to get to in Bekt al-Ahwash because it's closer and we will get help. I was really happy to get there, to get far away from beating and the pain.
When the sisters reached Umbek Lawash, an anti-slavery organization welcomed them and placed them in a shelter. They were finally free. But freedom in their case has not been a walk in the park. It's now been 5 years since Maimuna and her sister made their terrifying journey to escape their master. But now they're on a different journey, learning how to live and survive. And like so many former slaves, Maimuna is hitting obstacles as she tries to make a new life. She may be free now, but Mauritania is not an equal society for the Haritan people.
The only thing I wish for is to learn how to read and write, but that is not possible yet. Because in Mauritania, slaves do not have identification documents. And because of that, I cannot enroll in school.
This is something that Brahim frequently comes up against in his work, trying to help former slaves in their new lives.
The documentation is a very big deal. 80% of Haratins have no IDs.
Did you say 80%?
Yes.
Oh, that's enormous.
Only 20% of Haratins have their IDs. This is another problem, a very big problem, because they don't have the right to be a person like others. And that is why the situation is not very, very good, because you can free people when they are educated, because they understand. But when they are ignorant, and people put in their head, the chain in their head. They have a chain in their head. And people put in their head that God created them as a slave. And they are ignorant. They still believe that the situation is what it is.
But at least Maimuna is independent now.
I work now. I do domestic work for people. I sell things like ice to people during Ramadan.
And what is your life like now, Maimuna? How would you describe your life now?
I am very happy that I'm not a slave anymore.
This episode was produced by Aisha Afra, Mary Goodhart, and me, Kim Chaganeta. Rob Wilson did our sound design. Our studio manager is Frank McQueenie. Alice Muthengi is our editor. And a special thanks to Munira Mohammed for her help with the translation and the voiceover.